You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
John Scott, as many of you have emailed this morning, John was one of the first disc jockeys in the late 60s at FM 100 when they turned into one of the nation's first real FM progressive rock stations. And I could hear John up in my small hometown of Murray, Kentucky. So I knew him from then and knew that station and this city. Well, as time went by, he moved to Los Angeles and got in the record business. And then he and I ended up talking. I was in Louisville at the time. When he was in, he went to work for MCA Records in L.A. And I was in Louisville at that time, I suppose. And he was involved with an artist called Johnny Cougar. And radio did not really jump on that bandwagon. But John refused to give up on John Cougar. And he worked it so much and so hard, I guess, and he pissed MCA off so much that they fired him. And so he ended up over at ABC Records. And he ended up over there just in time as he was moving. And he told me last night that he just noticed this album in his collection in a white sleeve, I think he said. And he took it out, and it was Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And he put it on and listened, I suppose, to the entirety of the record, and then realized that the song Breakdown was a single at the time, but it was dying and not getting any airplay. Well, the job of a guy in John's position was to call radio and get it on the air and to break the artist. That used to happen in this business. Hard to believe, but it's true. So he dove into this. And they gave him 6 weeks to get this played or it was going to be done. Now, at that time, Petty and the Heartbreakers were having success all over Europe. They had toured there and come back home, and they were back in L.A., and nothing's going on. At this point, I will say hello to my friend John Scott from Los Angeles this morning. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Drake, I'm doing fantastic. I just took a 714. Feeling good, man.
Well, very good, and I know that you're working. you are working on a new book called Tom Petty and Me. If anybody in the world is qualified to tell stories about Tom Petty, it's you. And I know a bunch of them. I was there for several of them. But but let's go back to the fact that you didn't know much about him. One of the strange things in this story, and there are so many tangents off of this, the band Mudcrutch that TP and Mike Campbell were in down in Gainesville was a band that you worked and got played in New Orleans and Nashville and nowhere else, and
didn't, that's right.
And had no idea that it was Tom Petty.
Actually the first record that they handed me was Mudcrutch. I knew nothing about Mudcrutch. I got it played. They said, forget Mudcrutch. Work a living Newton John. So I did. I forgot Mudcrutch.
And so, so that came up in conversation with Tom after. So you go to L.A., and our old friend Charlie Kendall is at KMET. And I guess that...
K-West.
Yes. KMET was... all right. So... nobody much is playing Breakdown, and you heard the record, you made Charlie hear the record, and then you guys went to see the Heartbreakers at the Whiskey. Take it from there.
Well, you know, they were opening for Blondie, and truly, when you said a white album, there was nothing on the vinyl, there was nothing on the white jacket on the front except November 9th, 1976, and I had no idea who was on this vinyl, and I sat down. And I heard the song you just played, Rockin' Around With You, and kind of got me to my feet going crazy, and then Breakdown, then, you know, later American Girl, and I was like in a trance. Who are these guys? And so I put my headphones on and listened again. And I went to my boss's office, and I said, who are these guys? He said, John, that's a punk band. We're dropping them from the label. And a few stations have played it. They've only sold the 12,000 copies, and forget about them.
Yep.
You know, you did that Johnny Cougar thing over at MCA, and you told me you'd never do it again. And I went, Charlie, this is an incredible record. I can get it played. John is 8 months old. I don't care. just give me a chance. And I got on my knees and begged. He did. He finally said, all right, I'll just kiss your butt on the Sunset Strip if you can get it played. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Right.
So I started calling stations, and it was really tough at first because most people had gotten the record 8 months before.
8 months. Yeah, it's over with. Yeah.
Yeah, and tossed it because people were saying it's a punk band because of his cover. His cover really dogged him, the first album cover.
Now, you know, he looked, cute and pretty, but the black jacket and the bullets around the neck sent kind of an odd message. And no one knew what to make of it. Now, that's in a time when you've got the Cars coming out, Elvis Costello, and so any album cover, you make an immediate decision. Okay, this guy's a punk. He sucks. He looks angry, and he's not Bob Seger. So we ain't going to deal with this. So 8 months into any song that is being out, we call that a stiff. And most labels have tossed it and gone on to it. But magically, so you went to BCN in Boston and San Francisco, and went to some of these bigger markets and had to beg these people, which was unheard of, to re-add this record, and they did.
Yes, I did. You talked about Charlie at K West, my friend Charlie Kendall.
Yeah,
your friend as well. Well, when we went to the Whiskey, Tom was opening for Blondie, and we walked in, and there was like 20 people in the club. And you're right, nobody knew who Tom was in the United States. And so he played 5 minutes, and we were like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Who is this? And they came out nice looking guys, no bullets around his neck, thank God. Charlie just leaned over and said, I'm going to start playing Breakdown once an hour every hour on Monday morning. And long story short, I was so excited after the show that I went upstairs to meet this guy, Tom Petty. And I introduced myself to him, John Scott, the new head of album promotion for ABC. And he went, who cares? I went, no.
Nice
I'm
attitude.
The new guy.
Nice attitude, man.
I said, I'm the new guy. He said, I don't give a damn who you are. We hate ABC Records. Matter of fact, ABC, we have a connotation for what it stands for, but I won't say it on the air.
Right.
But but they all started laughing at me. The whole band laughed at me. Oh, look at the new guy. And he said, I said, you ever heard your record on the radio in Los Angeles? And Tom said, no, why? I said, well, you're going to hear it Monday morning, knowing that Charlie was going to play it. And he said, BS.
Yeah.
Why don't you two nut jobs just get out of here?
Well, now, I'm going to stop you there because in the book by Warren Zanes, and he spends about four pages on you and on this story, but you told me, but there's kind of a different version. But, in your enthusiasm, you told him that, when he heard this song, he better, know the name John Scott from here on out. And you said that he told you about three times to go F yourself. In the book, Zanes has a little story here. Bugs was the guy that was always with TP. He was his aide de camp. And so it is written here that after you went on and on and on, that Tom turned to Bugs and said, escort these children out of here. Was he that nice about it, or was it more go F yourself, get out of here?
Yeah, it was pretty much like that. And, I really didn't mind, to be honest with you, because, like I said, I told him, you're never going to forget my name, John Scott. And he just looked at me like, oh, right, sure. And I don't know why I was saying it. It was just coming out of me.
Enthusiasm.
Passion.
Yep.
For something I heard and something I just saw.
Yep.
And
well, yeah, and
when you see the Heartbreakers live, holy mackerel, that's a good band.
And so, in summary on that note, you indeed single-handedly and the staff at ABC, in 6 weeks' time, you saved his career. Now, I cannot remember too many singles being released not once but twice and then them becoming hits. Dream On by Aerosmith, I think, was released a couple of times before it kicked in. But Breakdown finally became a giant hit off of that first album. And Listen to Her Heart, they discussed that. American Girl was never a single, and most folks don't realize that. So Breakdown saved the day, and then they went on to the next record, right? And then that got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then everything exploded with Damn the Torpedoes. So they were touring, and that's when you and I first met, when Tom and the Heartbreakers played in Louisville at Memorial Hall in 1977. It was September, I think you said, last night. And I meet these guys, and I didn't know much about them, but they certainly had some attitude back even then. They were nice enough, and he had, I guess, by then apologized to you for being such a dick. And and so he was being nice to John Scott then and to radio guys, because you had, you know, saved his entire career. But to see them play and not knowing much about them, it was unbelievable to see how good they were that young and that early on. Because those guys, you know, there is one more story just to kind of go back to that seems so unreal now. Early on in this book by Zanes, he mentions that or he tells the story that that Tommy and Campbell and Benmont and the entire band got in a couple of cars or a van and drove to Los Angeles. And this is back in the day where they would pull up to MCA or to Capitol Records and walk in with their tape and say, "We're Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Y'all should sign us. Here's our tape." That's how they got started. And that's unbelievable to me. And that would no more happen now than the man in the moon.
You couldn't even get close to the door.
No.
Which is such a shame.
Right. But it's again kind of a testament to your endurance and your passion for this.
Thank you.
And then once Here Comes My Girl and Refugee and those things hit, and that was right when MTV had kind of kicked off. So were you still, kind of involved with them, or had they gotten too big for their britches by then?
No, I was still involved with them. They switched to a label called Backstreet Records.
Right.
It was kind of a way of solving the MCA problem. MCA bought ABC, Lock, Stock, and Barrel. They bought his publishing. They bought everything. And he wasn't too happy about that.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. So he decided not to go to MCA. And that's when all the legal problems started. He just hit the road for 2 years and let the lawyers figure it out. And finally, this change at Backstreet, this young kid and Danny Bramson decided he could work it out, him and Cameron Crowe.
Yep, Cameron Crowe, that's right.
They did. And so when I found out MCA was buying ABC, I went, I don't want to go back to MCA because they just fired me. And they're going to fire me again, probably. And so all of a sudden I get a phone call from Tom's manager going, "John, you want to go to work for Backstreet Records as vice president of promotion? And you'll be telling MCA people what to do." And I went, "Are you kidding me?
Vengeance is mine.
I want to go."
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I ask for everything possible, red vinyl, 500 copies of this, blue vinyl, whatever, just to piss them off.
Great. Our guest today is my friend John Scott, a former Memphian, and the man that really helped the career of Tom Petty, and that's an understatement. He's doing a new book called Tom Petty and Me, which will be out sometime in the spring, a gathering of stories from 40 years of knowing Tom Petty and watching him. So this entire thing, this all took off in the early 80s, I guess it was. And then this just continued, and they got bigger and bigger and bigger. And, Tom was always in the news for, standing up for the just the idea of the the album prices being raised. He caused a ruckus over that, and he was always fighting for the little guy, and he always did that. And that's he's just an individual artist along with that band that was truly unlike anybody else I can think of. Not Springsteen, not Dylan, not anybody else. He really touched the hearts and the minds of a lot of people, and he was truly unlike anybody else because his music spoke to people like it was coming out of their own hearts and heads. He understood the human condition, and he wrote about it. And I think that he went through so many incredible things in his life. He had the Heartbreakers, then he did a couple of albums as a solo artist, which kind of pissed them off. Then he and the band got to be the backup band for Bob Dylan. How incredible was that for him?
He was like a kid in a candy store,
oh,
man.
Good Lord. Plus it took the onus off of him having to be the boss. And then last night you were saying, cause I wasn't around then, but, the Traveling Wilburys, and George Harrison had done something. But George had left a guitar at his house, and he called him, and all of this just kind of between George Harrison, Roy Orbison, and Dylan and Jeff Lynne, he was just blown away that all these guys were coming to him. Is there any time around that story that you can tell any anecdote about that bunch?
Well, you're right. George left a guitar at Tom's house, and he said to Tom, "Hey, I'm making a B-side for a single from Warner Brothers, and you want to play on it?" And Tom went, "Sure." This is his idol, George Harrison. And so for some strange reason, George had asked Bob Dylan, and I think he'd asked Roy Orbison, and it just came together. Where the name Traveling Wilburys came from, I don't know, but all I know is Tom was like playing with his idols.
Yeah.
And that just stoked him. And that album was actually really damn good.
Really, really good.
First album.
Yeah. And when you see them recording it in that movie that's out about them, Tom looks, he's so cool, calm, and collected. But inside he's just going, "Yes, I'm playing with Bob Dylan and George Harrison, and good God almighty, how awesome is this?" So he did that, and in fact, I'm going to take a little break, John, and do some spots, and we'll come back and discuss. You and I were there in the mid-80s, which was not really a great time for him, but I think it produced, in my estimation, one of the most unique and maybe my favorite album he ever did, which is still very different. And it was done under circumstances that we can't really get into altogether, but it was a stressful time. But it did produce some incredible music. John Scott is our guest. The book, Tom Petty and Me, has a website, has a Facebook page. We'll talk to John more about this in just a moment. Here is the aforementioned song that John fought for and got played on the radio that introduced the world to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.